Test, 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 1, 2, 3.
12 Years a Slave is a movie about abortion.
Okay, Felix? I'd like to welcome...
Wait, I need you to be louder than Ben.
I would like you to welcome my friend and your friend, Steve Harvey.
Can we please talk about that? Yeah. Brendan, when we talk about Steve Harvey and Ben Carson, you have to edit in.
Test, 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 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. When you think you've done too much, do some mo.
Family Feud is so funny now. They just
it's so good.
It's just like every answer is just like doo-doo ass.
Yeah.
Okay, we got the questions already coming in. I haven't looked at them yet.
Okay,
that's great. As long as we have some questions,
yeah. As long as there's,
I'm sure by the time we get to,
we're gonna get so many.
Yeah. All right. This is now a free, fire idea zone.
We're it's a free fire idea zone.
Yeah, we're just it's a think tank. It's a think tank.
Okay. Hello, friends. It's Chapo. It's your Chapo for this week. After some minor technical difficulties prevented us getting you a show yesterday, a little bit of backstory there. We did do an interview with Peter Fraze yesterday about his book and article for Futures that was incredibly entertaining, informative, and serious, and covered a lot of good topics that I think you would have really enjoyed. But because of that, Brendan deleted the file and requested that we just do a show where we scream like children at animal defecation and just bay like donkeys at media figures that we dislike. So, Lord forgive me, I'm back onto that old shit. I'm back to the old me.
Going back to our typical bullshit, let's get it rolling. Last episode, you guys talked about, you know, visions of the future. Who cares? This episode... What you gonna do if a man coming to Russia and pee-pee on your bed? What are you gonna do?
I specifically said at the beginning of the Peter Fraze episode, which, like I said, which we like sort of imagined a post-capitalist future and like the possibilities based on technology, egalitarianism versus hierarchy, scarcity versus plenty, and talked about science fiction and socialism and work and the economy.
It was a heady brew.
I immediately said at the beginning of the show... This is. I know what you're all thinking. This is a serious show. We're not going to be talking about pee-pee or piss, mate. So, but now we're just going to be talking about pee-pee. We've been left with nothing else.
After Brendan spilled the paella all over the recording equipment.
Oh, no.
All that's left is, to get rowdy. This is like this is like a Chapo party record.
Yeah,
put this one on late at night.
Yeah, this is all right. So pretend we're on Family Feud right now. I'm Steve Harvey. When people go to Russia, they experience prostitutes doing this to a bed that Barack Obama slept in.
Kaka, what is kaka?
Dude, we got 17 points for that. That's
We still got the first show.
Yeah, all right, Sanchez family.
Pee-pee?
It's pee-pee.
We are gonna. I do want to talk about Steve Harvey in a moment.
Yeah,
but you know, like I said, we're back on our bullshit. Let's just talk about piss because everyone else is
urine.
Oh, and then in the latter half of the episode, we should say we have a special treat.
Oh, by the way,
yeah, we have a special treat.
In the latter half of the episode, I've been planning this for a while, and is by no means just a craven attempt to just wring 20 or 30 minutes of content because we have nothing else to do. We're going to be doing a semi-live call-in show where we answer your curious cat questions.
A pre-taped call-in show, if you will.
A pre-taped call-in show, yeah.
We're taping it now, and it airs next week, okay? So, if you're watching me talk about the elderly, don't call to talk about it. It's too late. Instead, call about cooking, which is next week's topic. Okay? If you wanted to talk about the elderly, you should have called last week when our pet care show was airing, but we were taping the elderly show.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, don't bother asking us questions. You've already missed the opportunity.
We're disappointed in you.
Yeah. No, we're going to be doing sort of a call-in in the second half of the show. But to begin with, let's kick things off. First of all, I just want to acknowledge that this is the first episode we've done in a long time. That's just the original three. With no Ambers, no Virgils, in the background.
The way that God intended it. No women. No guests.
Yeah, no guests. Yeah.
Just three cishets chopping it up.
Yeah, just cishet privilege on flagrant display for everyone to listen to.
I do have insomnia, so it's like the quarter of being quarter PSC.
I have IBS.
Yeah.
I'm just fully privileged.
Some of these questions are good.
You are the most privileged. So
yeah,
we've done the science.
Yeah, we did the Charles Murray quiz. Yeah. I'm the most in a bubble.
I got a very hot soup level of privilege. Yeah. Like I'm perfectly in the middle.
Both, I am the least privileged white male on the show.
Yeah.
So yeah,
you're differently abled in a number of ways.
It's true. I'm all fucked up.
Yeah. I have the condition known as gorilla mind, so this is the greatest disability. I can't use shampoo or jack off. I don't know how to do either of those things.
Felix, we were talking yesterday, and you said gorilla mindset sounds like what they would call, like...
This is Bakun's joke. I have to properly credit Bakun for this. On Twitter, he said, gorilla mind sounds like what you would call Down syndrome in the Middle Ages.
I'm afraid your child has gorilla mind.
Oh no.
The cart that will take him off to the asylum is coming around next month.
What can it be? The skull. Village stone heaver.
Not even that, unfortunately.
Oh no.
Hold on,
thank God I have nine other children.
Right,
I'm gonna,
again.
If Cernovich was around in the Middle Ages, he would have been selling like the miracle of his trepanning wand. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. I jabbed holes in my skull last night, and I already feel the evil spirits leaving my brain.
When I close my eyes, I can tell who's a pretender to the throne and who's a real House of Bourbon.
So, rain, golden rain.
Yeah.
Pee-pee, segue. Get it? So yeah, I guess that was the thing everyone was laughing about this week was the I guess we should begin by just stating that or at least speaking for myself, I don't believe this dossier.
Nah, it's
at
probably
all.
Bullshit.
It's almost certainly bullshit because it has the it has like the telltale of any lie is just like the over too many details and like this whole thing about how Trump paid prostitutes to pee in the bed that Michelle Obama and Barack slept in. It's just like, if you would tell me that Trump paid prostitutes so he could pee on them in a hotel room, like that's done, simple, easy, like no need for this elaboration about how it was the same room that Barack and Michelle stayed in. It just,
yeah.
And like, and just like the whole presentation of it just seems so ham-fisted. Like it just seemed like some obviously fake shit put out there by someone or some parties designed to embarrass
4chan,
Trump.
Well, no, 4chan is claiming they did it on purpose.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To make Trump look good by making
Rick
the allegations
Wilson.
Against him and Rick Wilson look bad.
I mean, yeah, but like anything that
but like,
happens
I don't believe
now,
anything.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, that is why this is the perfect – this whole story was so perfect because that – for anyone who's like wondering what the next 4 years are going to look like, it's this piss story. It's going to be some crazy thing happening and then everyone kind of just laughing at it. Nobody having any way of verifying whether it's true or not. Everybody basically making a decision on its validity based on their previous view of Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then yelling at each other about it. And it and just meanwhile, you know, the Republican Congress is just, you know, raping everything.
I mean, this is back to the Adam Curtis thing. I mean, this is the zone. This is like another example
exactly
of like where we're living in the zone.
But I mean, this entire – the presentation of the document, it's like the episode of The Sopranos where they thought that Adriana blew Tony. Like the way that it was passed along. Meanwhile, while that happens, like in the first preliminary steps of like agreeing on a repeal Obamacare budget, they're voting down, you know, letting people stay on their family's insurance, pre-existing conditions,
birth control. Yeah. But how much fun did we have though for that like 24 hours
when
the press thing came out? And what that's going to be like? All right, so this is going to be the next 4 years. You're going to be on your couch with a nitrous oxide tank strapped to your face, and you're going to be in a semi-conscious state of delirium over just the insane shit happening at the level of Trump's theatrics. Meanwhile, you left your door open, and feral dogs are eating your children.
Yeah.
I mean, there's sort of like this debate of like, okay, BuzzFeed published this, and you know, without any real verification, I'd read that other journalists had seen this story, but passed on it because there was literally no way to confirm or verify any of the details.
David Korn was like, no.
Wow.
And like he can get chucked, as we know.
But like, okay, here's the question. Like, are there any, like, I mean, Matt, you and I were just talking about this yesterday, and it was like, are there any rules anymore?
No.
Any of this?
No.
Right?
No.
Like, and it's like, if there's something out there that can embarrass Trump or get in his head some way, why not publish it?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything. There are no rules. There is no agreed upon framework. And frankly, there is no real way of telling how, if anything, has effect anymore. Like, I really don't think that media narratives have an effect anymore, because all they do is reach target audiences of people who are already in agreement with the principle of them. And then all it is something for them to share amongst themselves.
Well, yeah,
on Facebook or whatever.
Yeah, what's so weird is like the speed and velocity at which the term fake news came into being, reversed and then collapsed into itself.
Amazing.
Into, like, just a black hole and it was, of inanity. It was stunning.
It was so good, too, the moment that, like, because you knew Trump was going to start using it. I mean, Mark Dice started using it the day it came out. But the moment that Trump started using it, like, all the liberals and media resistance are like, that's not fair. That's our word.
Oh, that was so,
like,
funny.
That's, yeah, like, yeah. It's like their N-word.
You're not allowed to use that word, sir.
It's their N-word.
Yeah, no, fake news. It totally is. And yeah. It's like, guess what, motherfuckers? There's all free. It's all fair game now.
Yeah.
There's no public.
Yeah, and
there are branded segments of substratas who are all pitched to individually and who just talk amongst themselves, not with between each other.
It's very high school. It's very high school because, like, we're not really going to be sure.
Because the principal is a piss hog.
Yeah, it's a piss hog. But we're not going to be able to verify the truth of anything. But the level at which something will get to someone will be at the corresponding to how real it seems. Like, how real does it seem that Trump would probably pay a prostitute to piss somewhere? Like, it 100% makes sense.
Real.
It makes sense, even if the story itself isn't real. And so that hits it like some core insecurity with Trump, where he's like, no, I've never done that, actually.
I'm a germaphobe, folks.
Well, yeah. Oh, I love that. What's his name? Eric Erickson said, he's like, folks, are we to believe the man who, when I met, was told beforehand not to touch or shake hands with him because of his germophobia?
Yeah, that was why, Eric. Yeah.
And it was just like,
nobody wants to touch your sweaty pink fucking ham fist.
No, but Trump is on that, like, Howie Mandel shit.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
He doesn't,
well, he
like
got over
people.
It to a degree, because I remember when he was toying with running, I remember thinking, he's not going to be able to run for president. How is he going to glad hand a bunch of hicks with, like, fucking manure on their hands in an Iowa cornfield? But, like, he was able to kind of get around it by just doing that campaign thing where he would helicopter and give a speech and leave, but he would still like do a rope line. So I don't know if he had like a vat of Purell on the plane or something,
yeah,
but
probably.
He got over it enough to like touch the hicks.
Get daddy's prosthetics, okay? He needs it to shake these corn idiot's hands.
Oh my God, what if he's got a fake hand for shaking the roofs? Yeah. As soon as he gets on the plane, it's like, drops it into a bucket. Burn that right now.
Sergeant Williams, thank you for letting us use your hand. We're going to get you a better one. I swear on the word of the Observer. A newspaper man's honesty.
Yeah, that's going to be it, man. It's just like, yeah, it's going to, things that sound true are going to just become like folk belief,
mm-hmm.
but not in any way that's going to change anyone's opinion or anyone's actions. Because that public square doesn't exist. Those mechanisms for like pressuring don't exist anymore. So it's going to be just this fascinating thing to watch, as like the press conference where he basically said, yeah, I didn't piss. Two, I'm going to give up my businesses, only not really.
Yeah, my two sons.
Yeah. Who I said I would be able to fire if they didn't do a good job, which means by definition you're still in charge. And then I don't have to do my tax returns because I won.
Yeah.
And but that's like correct.
No,
like,
well, no, it is correct. Yeah. But that is what caused like everyone to hyperventilate, was watching that press conference and be like, what is happening? Oh, my God. We're in the new realm of horror here. And to a degree that, and I felt that a little bit just thinking about how drastically different this is than anything that I've understood to be politics before now. But thinking about it more, I realized, you know, it really is just all that we're seeing is that the legitimacy of democratic institutions that have been used to justify 30 years of relentless upward redistribution of wealth and a police state correspondingly expanding to deal with an underclass.
The immiseration of the underclass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, concurrently with a never-ending war.
Right, yes. And imperial war abroad. Is that the legitimacy of those institutions is what's being eroded. If this administration is going to make regular people's lives terrible, but it's just going to be an acceleration of a process that's been ongoing for decades. Their lives are going to be shitty. Our lives are going to be shittier for the same reason they've been shittier under Obama and Clinton. And before that, you know, less money, more bombs, more fucking cops. And all that we're seeing, though, and this might be a glimpse of, like, maybe liberation or for me anyway, like a lightening of the load and maybe a clarity in the accompanying discussions to come, is that all of that stuff was justified by the idea that it was the product of these deliberative processes and these offices that had legitimacy to them, the presidency and Congress and stuff like that, the press. And, like, yeah, this shit has made your life worse pretty much nonstop as a ratchet effect with no letting up. But look at why. It happened because of these reasons. And these reasons are all legitimate because they're operating through
right.
processes that are legitimate. And now all of the legitimacy is what's falling apart. And that is causing this, like, elite class nervous breakdown. But all that's really happening is that the flesh, the democratic flesh on the face, basically, of America is,
it's like now it's just
rotting and decaying.
It's just the Terminator.
Right. Yeah,
just,
like, yeah, just T-1000.
Gleaming metal skull of capital.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
I mean, the end of the first Terminator when it's like stalking through the factory.
Exactly. I mean, you know, at the end of 4 or 8 years, we're going to compare the amount of whistleblowers that the Trump DOJ prosecuted compared to Obama, the amount of people that he deported, the amount of people killed by foreign airstrikes that we committed, the kinds of weapons that we gave to the Saudis to continually turn fucking Yemen into the surface of the moon. The numbers may be slightly higher. They may be the same. But there's no longer going to be a guy who's happily bullshitting with the press or, like, making a charming video where he's fist bumping somebody. It's just going to be the pure insanity that it represents. Instead of that guy going out there and being like, I enjoy Jay-Z, it's going to be a guy going out there and just fucking screaming about TV ratings and piss.
Well, I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, I didn't watch Obama's farewell speech.
It fucking
sucked. I mean, like, I can't believe anyone would want to, but, you know, just reading about it, I had the thought that, like, I know it's just like, you know, the conventional wisdom is like, oh, this must be terrible that he's like, you know, his legacy is Donald Trump. But, like, man, he's lucky. It really lets him off the hook because for the rest of, he's a young guy, and for the rest of his life, like, people will look back on it.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, just be like, you know, things were getting better. And then, you know, Trump came along, or just like, you know, remember when the police didn't just kill young black people for no reason?
Yeah, remember when they at least did it? At least when a cop shot somebody, there was a man behind that trigger and not a giant robot on a fucking tank track.
Remember when we gave blank checks to armed sociopaths in the Levant and Gulf? And before we would do it, we would say we had serious concerns. Now we just give them the crates of weapons.
I think what you're talking about, Will, is that there's a legacy that will prevail.
Jonathan Shanks said.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, why do girls wear chokers? I've always wondered that.
Epilogue.
I just wanted to say the John Chait thing. It is what, the second week of January,
mm-hmm.
and his book is the biggest cell phone of the year. Nothing will top it. Will top the cell phone of him publishing that fucking book.
The only way you could top it is if he wrote a book in like 1998 that's like, why I'm going to keep all my hair.
Or he had a book.
Why I will never embarrassingly flirt with women while I'm married.
I was going to say, or he had a book of released in August 2001 called Why Buying Property in the World Trade Center. Sure bet. Move your family in now. It's the top of the world, baby. No, I did happen to notice this week a little publishing trick. Jonathan Chait changed the subtitle of his book on the sly, but if you look at all the pre-pub reviews, which is like Publishers Weekly, Kirkus, Library Journal, these are the reviews that are very short. It's for the trade magazines, and they come out like usually 2 to 3 months in advance of actual reviews of the books being in store. The original title of the book was Audacity, How President Barack Obama Transformed America. And all of it's still out there. The metadata is all fucked up. So, like, it's a disaster for the publisher. But, like, over the last weeks, they changed the title of the book to Audacity, How President Barack Obama Created a Legacy That Will Endure, which is, like, saying how created a legacy that will prevail eventually, or created a legacy that will prevail or endure.
Endure. No, it's endure, yeah. Which is perfect because he'll be able to argue that that's absolutely accurate, because what were we saying? His legacy will endure, and all the people watching in the ruins of, you know, burned, drowned cities after Trump going, man, Obama, he was pretty good compared to this.
Right. And honestly, it will look good by comparison.
But
that's
only
the fucked
by comparison.
Up part. Like, but yeah, no. Brendan had the brilliant turn of phrase about this, where he was like, "Imagine being Jonathan Chait and releasing your book about the triumph of sort of centrist technocratic liberalism 3 days before President Wario is inaugurated."
Wow!
Wow!
It's like the sound that he makes when he like holds a press conference to yell at
you. Also, when he comes,
it's the sound he giddily makes when prostitutes urinate for him.
That was his closing argument at the end of every debate. I'm gonna win.
He was right.
He was right.
He was right.
He fired the turtle. It looked like Cruz was getting in front of him. He fired the turtle shell. Scurrying away.
He shot epilepsy at Hillary Clinton.
It's a me, Hillary. I feel great.
No, Trump did that thing on the rainbow highway level where you just drive off the edge and jump to the end of the track at the
end.
Worked. Yeah,
it worked.
Totally worked.
Waluigi is Jared.
Yes. That's true. Oh, yes. My God, yes. He is.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was your...
Bowser is Steve Bannon.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
His hair.
Yeah, yeah.
That was this week's quota of Mario Brothers references. Yeah.
Actually, there's a relevant question on the Curious Cat that we'll get to.
We'll get to that. Okay,
it's a Mario-related question.
Excellent. The other thing about Jonathan Chait is that the New Republic reviewed his book this week. It was a good review. I mean, it wasn't a good review of the book because the book is an embarrassment, but it was a well done piece of criticism that wasn't like, it wasn't scathing about Chait at all. It was like, you know, for pretty mild in its criticism of Chait and his politics. But of course, he had a meltdown about it because he thinks he's so thin skinned, like he's such a bitch. Like, it's just because he thinks like he's an alumni of the New Republic, and he thinks that like they owe him deference because he worked there for so long in the wretched Marty Peretz years, and they were like publishing Charles Murray and like the case for ending welfare and like all that bullshit. I don't know. I mean, like, anything more to say about Chait? Oh, he also embarrassed himself this week by saying about like the women's march on DC. He was just like, I think a lot of men felt excluded from this.
And then he said that, look, I'm fine with it being a smaller protest, like somewhere a little bit further away, but is it really, is that going to be our main protest?
I guarantee you Jonathan Chait, when the Million Man March on Washington happened, I guarantee you he probably wrote a New Republic column or some sort of commentary where he was like, there wasn't a million people there. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. More like the 700,000 man march. Okay. Nation of Islam.
Jonathan Chait, like, he actually, when he watches Do the Right Thing, he's like, yeah, why should they put black people on the wall of the pizzeria? Italians own it. See the point of this movie.
Yeah, Jonathan Chait, I believe, friend of the show, Alex, who you heard from last week, is going to review Audacity for Current Affairs. And as soon as that comes out, we're going to have him right back on the show. Because Jonathan Chait has somehow managed to avoid
the
Chapo treatment.
We haven't roasted him for a while. It was like ninth episode or something. Last time.
Yeah, I think he deserves like a Meghan McCardle treatment.
Well,
yeah.
He is a figure.
Episode.
He is a figure who stands in for an entire mindset.
Just
a failed, delusional mindset that reassures itself that it's like the only reasonable path, and it's just completely failed.
What did he write a year ago? Reminder, liberalism is still working.
Yep.
You fucking
idiot.
I
also think that he's had kind of an ideological camouflage while Obama's been in office, because so many, you know, liberals who are probably a lot more sympathetic to lefty stuff or just even just more sensible and decent politics in general see how much he likes Obama, and they're like, all right, well, he's on Obama's team. I don't know. I mean, he seems all right. He's a good writer.
But he roasts those damn
He roasts Paul Ryan, you know,
scum.
The easiest possible, you know, targets possible. But now, for example, with this, his disapproval of the Women's March tweets, like a tweet storm about how a Women's March is not the best idea. I think he's going to probably fall out of favor with a lot of people who thought he was inoffensive.
Well, especially since the other hobby horse he had during the Obama years was out of control PC.
And that's true. It's weird that America didn't totally sink him, but I think he'll only be that now.
Yeah. I mean, like, and like, how many people in America do you think have ever earnestly asked for a safe space? Like, what, like 30?
Yeah.
And it's all he wrote about for about four fucking
years.
Well,
dude, that's all he's asking for now. Yeah. He's complaining that the New Republic gave him a mildly critical review. Man.
Fucking bitch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, like, I hope he moves outright because, you know, the war that's coming and is starting here. Between the liberals and the left, you know, people are going to have to make a choice, as Catwoman said in The Dark Knight Rises, and they're going to have to pick a side. And there's no question where guys like Chait belong. It's just a question of heightening the contradictions and making them leave.
You talk about safe spaces. You are merely visiting them, Jonathan. I was born in the safe space. Molded by it. The first time I saw a trigger warning, I was already a man. Nothing to me.
Enough Chait hate. Moving on to the inauguration, which we will be attending next week. We'll be in the guest box of Jared.
Yeah, I've got my opera glasses. Yeah. I'm very excited about
it. Felix, you're my least favorite cousin. The way that you massacre my voice on the show. I do not sound like that. Felix, I gave you your first writing job at The Observer, writing about the bastard executioner. And this is how you repay me, by making me sound like an ethnic cartoon on this show. But I will let you stay with your horrible podcast friends in my guest box.
Felix, no, Felix, no.
Don't do the impression.
No, we're going to be in D.C. next week for Inauguration Week, hanging out, having a good time, going to the Million Women March as men, you know.
We're going to show
our male allies.
If any women, if their feet feel tired during
the... Yeah, we'll be giving complimentary foot rubs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to be there for the inauguration. I guess a few things of note. The lineup for the entertainment has just been announced.
Yes.
Hey, Mr. Monkey, don't be asking why. Don't you know you can't mess with American pride?
So fucking good.
My favorite hit among them was a Bruce Springsteen cover band
called the B Street Band.
That is so good because, like, honestly, the demographic for likes the music of Bruce Springsteen but not his politics is fairly large.
Yeah, so,
and if you did a Venn diagram of that and Trump voters, it would be a circle.
Chris Christie is the shape of that circle.
He's the leader of that. Yes. He's the leader of the B Street Group fan club. The other Lee Greenwood, obviously, not a surprise to anyone.
Toby Keith, duh.
Three Doors Down.
Yes.
Though. Yeah.
Truck Whitley.
Chud Truckley will be performing his
country
star.
With that Chud Truckley,
country, he will be performing Country Dad.
I fucked all my daughter's boys.
All the boys that my daughter dates have to suck me off. I'm a country dad. Don't break your band.
Let's not forget teen country star 9/11 Sawyer. He'll be there. Guess what year he was born. What I love about it is that, I mean, this is exactly what everyone knew was going to happen when all of the big stars said no and wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, is that they're going to have to go to the bottom of the barrel, and they really fucking did.
Yeah.
I mean, the Deplorable is going to have a better lineup than this because, like, Tequila has been relevant in the 21st century, which is more than can be said for every one of those bands.
Mike's their
name. Three Doors Down had, like, the Superman became sort of a troops anthem right after 9/11.
Yes.
I go crazy, will you still call me Gorilla Man? Don't shower or shampoo or jack off, but I'm still your man. John Podesta eats pizza. I'm going to find out his chomo plan.
It's a good song.
It just slaps.
It just plain slaps.
It's just plain slaps. Well, I mean, like, I am disappointed. I mean, this is a good lineup, but I'm disappointed because I had this fantasy ever since it was like, you know, this debate. Oh, is Trump? All the celebrities are turning down Trump, and he's like, I've asked so many of them. No, they're all coming. They're all performing. Because like my dream performance to the inauguration would just be like the lights would go down. So it's outside, but somehow the lights go down. And then just like the whole mall just filled with all Trump fans. And then just like you just hear in the background, my name is Kid. Fireworks go
dude, off. That would fucking hell yeah.
Trump comes out, get in the pit and try to love someone.
It is
and
baffling.
And then he just starts screaming about Alec Baldwin.
And then he's
how
like,
did they not
and he's
get
like,
Kid Rock?
Folks, R.I.P. MC Joe, little Joe. He was
how
a great man.
Not,
how did he not get Kid
how
Rock?
Did he not
Kid Rock loves Trump.
He
that's
he
such
does.
A bad decision on
him. Maybe it's a surprise
wouldn't
get,
oh, yeah. Dude, that would he be, comes out of the fucking rap.
No, dude, Kid Rock does a halo jump.
With an American flag yeah. parachute.
And he land like they take a random prisoner from Gitmo and Kid Rock lands on him and snaps his neck and then takes a microphone out of his severed spine.
I am American badass.
Dun, 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 yep. dun. That's
no, remember when in the 2008 inauguration when Barack and Michelle danced to At Last sung by Beyonce. Yeah. Melania and Donald will dance to A Cowboy by Kid Rock perform live.
I think like what if he got Chief Keef?
Oh my god.
It would be so fucking cool.
Anka dropped out.
Glow up.
Yeah, glowing bands.
No, Chief Keef and Fredo Santana.
Oh my god, hell yeah.
I'm holding out that there's going to be a surprise appearance where Screwdriver plays Tomorrow Belongs to Me. That might happen.
That's dude. That this is
bang bang.
What if this is the White Shark reunion?
Great White Reunion.
Great White Reunion.
That's the second time I've fucked up.
Second time you fucked it up.
You've been waiting for months to redeploy it.
Yeah. Oh, god damn it.
You fucked
up
again.
That entire
We're
thing.
Already half an hour.
That's okay. All right. Well, just one more note before we go into our pre-recorded call-in show. This week there is, of course, the confirmations. Again, all I got to say about that is for every Democrat and liberal out there who's part of the hashtag resistance, all I got to say is take note of how easily Jeff Sessions sailed through confirmation. It's like, you know, if you're not going to make a scene to stop that fucking ghoul from becoming the top law enforcement person in the country, then
yeah, it's like
you're not, you know, I mean, not much of a resistance yeah, we've put up so far.
It's like they spliced the DNA of like Bull Connor and put it inside a Jim Henson creation, and you're going to fucking let him be the attorney general?
You have a guy who paid thousands of dollars for a recut edition of Mississippi Burning that takes out what he calls a sad ending. And you, the best weapon you deploy is Cory Booker saying, sir, repeatedly. Fuck you.
Although the one thing I do, the one that got less coverage than Sessions or Tillerson was, of course, my favorite, Ben Carson.
Hell yeah.
For
hell yes.
Housing and Urban Development. My favorite thing I'm imagining about Ben Carson is that I want him to be the designated survivor and then some sort of like a terrible disaster or terrorist attack happens that wipes out most of the government and Ben Carson now becomes president. But then like it just my new character is Ben Carson but Maoist and he just becomes president and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it was just a tragic time for America, but now I am the state, and the state is third world, third way, Maoist. If you have any metal or scrap iron, melt it down. It's now the state's property. We're going to use it to build the pyramid.
If there are any sparrows in your backyard, make sure to shoot them.
Yeah, I want everybody to remember something that the village is the ocean, and the villagers are the fish, and the revolutionary is the fisherman.
That would be sick because then, like, the Lin Bao would be Steve Harvey.
yes, no, and also announced just today, Steve Harvey is announced that he is going to be part of an initiative with Ben Carson, so.
Oh, I thought the news was that Asian slur he said.
Oh, that too.
But
yeah, both.
That's how he got in there.
I accidentally clicked on the Moments button the other day, And of course, it was the first time I'd ever done it. But you know, there's this big main story, and it was Obama's address. And he was looking very sober, and his, President Obama says farewell. And then right underneath that was Steve Harvey in hot water for anti-Asian remarks.
Steve Harvey,
how are you going to date somebody that go pee-pee in your coat? Well, you know, you have to do at least one slur in public before you could join the Trump administration.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He was qualified. Yeah.
Ben Carson used a loophole and said kraut. They're like, all right, Ben, that doesn't really offend anybody except our own voters. But,
The actual quote, I believe Steve Harvey said that he doesn't understand why anyone would be sexually attracted to an Asian man.
Yeah.
Why not say it? Just fucking say it. Like, why
would
not?
You say that?
There's no reason why you would do that.
I'll tell you why. It's because like he's just so used to it now. Because as we were talking about before we started recording, Family Feud had just stopped trying at all. Every clue is just either doo doo, pee pee, or your private parts.
I love to play with my what, Steve? Yeah, say ding it. Dong. Say it.
What is ding dong?
I love to play with my... Say it!
Balls!
Jimmy, name a part of the body that often itches. Say it.
What are testicles?
My father always told me, he said, son, when you think you've done all you can do and you can't do no more, do some more.
Your butt.
And every episode is just a race war between a black family and a white family.
That Vic Berger vine, the woman, fart!
Steve Harvey came out of a meeting with Ben Carson.
He's going to aid him in inner city housing policy.
Just give everyone in the inner city a triple breasted suit with a dozen buttons on the front.
Look sharp
when you go to that job interview.
Well, also, if it starts raining and you don't have a house, you can just like button it up and it's a teepee.
Yeah.
It's just going to be like a new generation of people who are homeless but have like bowler hats. it's going to be like the pillbox sanctuaries in Albania. Our version of that is just homeless people with fucking obnoxious pinstripe suits. They're like, why did they do this?
All I gotta say is, just when you think you've done enough,
do some more. Shall we?
Let's move into our pre-recorded call-in show now. Producer Brendan, are we getting these questions coming in on the Curious Cat?
The ticker is feeding us.
How many questions have we gotten since started?
We've gotten like almost 200.
Jesus Christ!
I've curated a bunch here so that we don't have to wade through the the dreck.
This is Pete from Piscataway. You're on the air.
Okay. Here's question number one. What if the young Pope was a baby?
Ooh.
Any thoughts?
I'll let you guys feel this one.
I think it might sound something like this.
Nice.
Goo goo gaga, women outside the home.
Benedict, essentially.
Well, it'd be not the Pope being a baby would be like Benedict because he also pisses and shits himself.
That's
true.
I think we basically wrapped that up. I've tried to mix a little bit of political weighty ones with mostly fun ones, but here's Anonymous asking, it's 2020, it's Cory Booker versus Trump, who wins?
I mean, I see no reason not to say Trump.
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows? Like,
I mean, the boring answer is it's going to depend on the economy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a recession with a year out of the election, then Trump would lose to probably anybody, even if they, like, you know, injected Hillary with enough epinephrine to get her back mobile, she might beat him. I mean, that's just what happens. If you've got a bad economy and you're the president, you're fucked.
If
Cory Booker ran, like, we would be wishing that Hillary is back there because he's so uniquely uninspiring.
I have a vision. I have a vision of the convention. He's the candidate. You're the nominee. And he winds it all up after like 3 hours and he goes, Mr. Trump, "You're fired."
Ew.
And the whole place is going
Cory
wild.
Booker, by the way, the guy who made headlines this week for joining with, I think, 11 other snakes to... 12. Another 12 snakes to help defeat the importation of prescription drugs from Canada bill that was sponsored by Bernie Sanders and, I think, Amy Klobuchar.
Yep.
For the completely spurious reason that he said that he's in favor of importing drugs from Canada and lower prices, but he's just concerned about their safety.
Yeah,
yeah, that's why he's so into Theranos.
And yes, as other people have dug up, he old tweets where he's like, "Great article by Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes. Americans should be able to get like blood test results at home." By the way, I did try to buy import prescription drugs from Canada. It was a disaster. I was ripped off by this guy who was drinking a rum and coke the entire time while driving, and then another guy who kept asking me for smokes, even though he clearly had two behind his ear.
I lost 52 bricks trying to import them from Canada.
Here's another one coming on through the wire. Who has the smallest dick of the original three?
Oh, should we just whip it out right now?
Yeah, let's take a look. Oh.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a tough one.
You guys, your dicks are tiny.
I feel like
I thought mine was small. That's not fair.
No, we should let this mystery, I think, live on, because that is actually a very interesting setup you have there. Well,
I mean, it's the same thing that all birds have.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a cloaca.
Yeah. This is why we can't really answer it, because Will has a cloaca.
Yeah.
Okay. Earlier in the year, you held that the two-party system was pretty immutable, taking the premise that we're staring in the barrel of decades of endless night before we drown in boiling seas. Do you now see spots of hope on the horizon?
In terms of what, like breaking out of the two-party system in America?
I guess you can speak to the two-party part.
God, this is a really hard question to answer. I mean, like, yes and no. Like, I mean, I think, like, we have no other choice, basically, at this point.
Well,
like,
the thing is, though, there will be two parties.
Yeah.
Unless there's some sort of, I mean, there was an interesting Jacobin article that talked about, you know, creating like parallel state power and like doing some sort of people's constitutional convention. And, you know, if you had enough of a dissolution of government functions and some sort of economic collapse, that might be viable. But if institutions maintain their current solvency, there's always going to be two parties just because of the structure of the government. The question is what they are. What are the two parties going to be? Mm-hmm. You know, and the Democrats, like, they don't have to be one of them. They could, and just like they could go the way of the Whigs, and it can happen a lot faster than people think is possible.
I mean, how many states are there left where there's a Democratic legislature and a governor? Four.
Yes.
That's fucking awful. They only need to fuck up bad enough to get slaughtered
in two years,
and it could happen. It could happen.
Those four are the only four good states, and those four good states would bring jobs and happiness to the rest of the states if only they would just stop being bigoted.
Yeah.
The culture.
And if you live in the other shitty states, move to the four good states and start a business.
Guys, all you need to do is like look at what happens internationally. What are the countries that get the most foreign investments? They're the most progressive ones. United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia. Arabia, Qatar,
Israel.
Yeah,
we're now at a spot where the only answer that either party has for the economic pain of people in large swaths of the country is move either to like Massachusetts for cultural reasons, if you're Brianna Wu or, you know, a lib, or to a North Dakota oil field.
And
if
actually,
you're a conservative.
We were talking about this the other day, and I have to credit a listener of the show, Benny Vanilla, made this point. I think he was actually talking to T about this, and this was like the other week when that awful Melinda, as I was alluding to before, that awful Melinda woman made that asinine rant about how the middle of the country, and you know how basically Silicon Valley would bring jobs to America if only they would stop being so bigoted or whatever. I mean,
forget fiber cable.
And fiber internet. Forget about that. But I think the interesting point about that is we're seeing a lot of this similar type of rhetoric. And I think he made the quite accurate point that this is basically just the exact mirror image of the Kevin D. Williamson, Meghan McCardle right wing.
Yep.
Just. The move because of culture is the same argument as move because of jobs.
Yeah,
both of them basically have utter contempt for humanity.
Yeah, well, they both think that you know, like Nairobi or Lagos or Mumbai is a good social model where you have just landless peasantry surrounding a economic hub city and people like fighting to survive in giant scrap heaps.
And that people don't have a right to live where they want to, or like live in a place that is familiar to them, or where they have a social network or ties or some kind of connection to.
I mean, their ideal system would be that America disintegrates into a series of city states. We become what Italy was before the 19th century, I think. And, you know, like maybe the kingdom of fucking Silicon Valley can ally with the kingdom of Los Angeles County, and they can heat off invaders from Duterte's raiders. Yeah. There'll be a Marco Polo character who travels from fucking
from San Chicago to San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I saw amazing things. If you go to the far west, if you pour water into a vase, it will tell you that it's water.
Enough of these serious questions. I want more about our hogs.
Yeah.
Next question.
Does Mario fuck?
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Excellent question.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Mario definitely fucks.
Okay, yeah.
I mean,
the more badass like a game character looks, like who's the most badass game character? Like, it's like Master Chief, Big Boss. Neither of those men have sex.
Definitely not. Big Boss
had sex once in his life.
And he regretted it.
Yeah, ever since.
No, you guys are so fucking wrong.
Really?
What?
Mario is the archetypal Volcel hero.
That's true.
He saves the princess, and even though she's really grateful to him...
He sees a mushroom and he runs away. Yeah.
Because he wouldn't be able to jump on those fucking Koopas if he was draining his essence through intercourse.
Nah, dude, you're wrong. You're wrong. And here's why. Okay. A lot of people don't know about the Reconstruction of Japan, but one of the codes in Reconstruction was that until 2030, they could not even imply that sex was happening. If they really wanted to, it would have to be a guy running towards a mushroom. That's what represents sex in all Japanese art. And if you've actually read Mishima, as I have, whenever he's implying that his characters are going to fuck, they both run in opposite directions towards mushrooms. It's like a theme in all Japanese art.
Shit.
And you know, sometimes I'm sick of being the only cultured member of the show, but it's fine. Mm.
That's what I get for not being otaku.
Yeah, that's right.
Anonymous asks, how many of y'all like sex?
None
of us.
That's a silly question.
Pass. Awful. Hate it.
That's
next
a question. Are leftists sexier than liberals and right wingers? Does being woke correspond with virility?
No, there's an inverse relationship. Yeah. I think. But the answer, I would say leftists are the sexiest of all, contrary to that Washington Post article.
Yeah. Are they as attractive or is it sexiest?
Historically, it's not been the case. In 18th and 19th century, all of your real left-wing heroes were united by crippling skin conditions. Jean-Paul Marat.
True.
Robespierre. My boy Marx had carbuncles all over his entire body. They weren't good looking.
The answer to this question is yes, leftists are the sexiest because the brain is the biggest erogenous zone of all.
We're sapiosexuals.
The tankies, they have to answer for the fact that Joseph Stalin had some righteously terrible pineapple face.
Yeah, he looked terrible.
And Mao never bathed.
That's also true.
No, he had fucking green teeth.
Mao's teeth were brown and green.
Yeah.
That's why the Little Red Book was the gorilla mindset of its day. He's like, if the revolutionary has essential oils, it means he never has to brush his teeth.
Well, we were talking about like the comments from certain quarters that like leftist women are doing it for attention from boys, to be sexy. We were like... I believe my comment on that was if you're a leftist woman looking for leftist guys, the odds are good, but the goods are odd. Would seem a contrary, a bad strategy. But we're sexy, though.
Obviously.
We're about the best you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people want Jacob to come back on the show, just sort of
the book comes out.
Common thread.
In March.
Is the gorilla mindset a pre-existing condition?
Yes, unfortunately,
we touched
Trump
on
care.
That. Yeah.
Well, that's a good question because if it is, that means that it can't be taught.
Yeah.
And Cernovich is a fraud.
Yeah,
which I can't countenance that being the case. What? I
mean, no. Dude, no way. That's one of the most honest people in show business.
All he does is tell the truth. Yeah. Why would anyone hate someone who tells the truth?
There's no reason to, dude.
All he does is tell the truth. Sorry.
Maybe it's like syphilis, because you can get syphilis from your parents. If your mom has syphilis and it gives birth to you, you can have syphilis that
Actually,
way.
I think it's like being a wizard.
Mm.
Like you get contacted at the age of 11. by a guy who receives alimony.
Matt, this one's for you. It's a history question. If Cushbaum could join any faction of the French Resistance, who would he follow?
Like during World War II?
I suppose they're talking about World War II. I don't know if that's your specialty.
Not really, but I mean, like, I guess you got to go with the... I mean, to be honest, I would prefer to be hanging out like with Sartre. Camus putting out the newspaper, the Liberator, I think it was.
I'm gonna answer that question.
I don't want to get my face caved in by Klaus Barbie. That's for sure.
I'm gonna answer that question as the resistance, just general term, and I would definitely be the OAS guys who tried to kill De Gaulle.
Okay. We're gonna be in charge of the government next year.
actually, both you guys are wrong, and the best people you could be with were 100% real unit from World War II. They were called the Expendables.
Les Expendables.
This one's more of a comment. Will's ass. That's all they have to say. Felix, how did you like living in St. Paul?
Minnesota is kind of a bullshit place to live if you didn't grow up there, because if you look at the Northern European skull, they can only be friends with people that they've known since childhood.
Right.
So, in a beautiful place, though.
We have a lot of people asking this quite often, and I can't find the exact question now, but it was basically, here it is. What sort of books do you recommend for people trying to understand how neoliberalism rose and fell, and also which one of you fucks the most? Let's take the first part.
I mean, like, I always like, yeah, like when people ask me these questions for like recommendations for books about like socialism or political economy, like I always feel out of my depth. I always much more confident recommending fiction that I think sort of helps sort of paint a portrait or like understanding of current conditions. I mean, did you guys have any like ideas?
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. If you want to understand the current age, two words: 1984.
Animal Farm.
There's a book.
The Matrix.
There's a book called
Fight Club.
There's a book called Neoliberalism: A Very Short Introduction. By Manfred Steger, that I've heard very good things about. So that would be one to check out.
I just read Thomas Frank's book, his new one. I think if you're looking to turn people on to a different way of thinking about the Democratic Party and about what left means and about the limits of liberalism, that was a pretty good one. I mean, it just came out. It's not like a classic yet.
Actually, I think like a good topic for a future show would just be what is neoliberalism, because it's a word that's very porous. It's a very kind of vaporous, I think it's become sort of like fascism. I mean, I don't mean like in a glib way, like to mean a certain kind of person, that person being me, things that I don't like about contemporary politics. But I think it is a useful concept, and I think it requires further explication. So I think we should possibly do a show at a future date about just what is neoliberalism, like what defines it, what's the history of it. And if anyone else has book recommendations on this, please feel free to share. To the second part of the question, which one of us fucks the most? This is a complicated question. I, of course, fuck on the reg, but in the context of a long-term committed relationship, which I don't think counts. Yeah,
no.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'm knocking myself out of the running.
Yeah,
same
here.
That leaves you out too, Matt.
Yeah.
So it's down
which
to
makes
Brendan
it
and Felix.
A competition between Felix and I, which I don't feel comfortable with.
No, I mean, we also cultural differences. We do it differently. Like, I don't fuck for 7 years straight, then for a 2 month period, I just go crazy.
You're like a Vulcan.
Yeah, Vulcan.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Where's with the logic as well. Let's see. We're near the end of the wire here. I'll just check up on a live one coming up. Oh, here's an interesting one. What would America look like under Chapo rule? And I assume they mean us, not the drug lord.
Okay. Who here has seen the movie Equilibrium?
I have no other answer. That's perfect.
Gun kata. Yeah.
A gun will be ruled by a class of warrior priests and their gun kata style.
Talk about utopia.
Yeah. All emotions are banished. Yep. Definitely.
Well, here's a question that actually touches on the episode we recorded and lost yesterday, but might tease them about when we go back to it. Your answer might tease them. I know you guys aren't fans of comparing politics to pop culture, like Game of Thrones think pieces, but Peter Thiel recently said Star Trek was communist, and I've always felt that it was a blueprint for what a post-capitalist, post-scarcity society would look like. Maybe this is Peter.
This is probably, we talked for an hour about this yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, but we'll do it again, and we'll do it better, and here's a little, you know,
it's lost like tears in the rain. Here's what I want to respond to, though, that we're not fans of comparing politics to pop culture. I think that's, at least speaking for me, a slight misnomer. I actually do like comparing politics to pop.
We do it all the time.
My problem is, like for instance, the liberals doing it, it's not so much that they're comparing politics to pop culture, it's that their taste is so fucking bad, and it's all books for fucking babies. Like that's what disturbs me.
That betrays their completely childish understanding of politics and morality. It's simply good or bad, and the highest level of moral complexity is Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's the thing. Pop culture is useful to the degree that it illuminates a reality. Like, you can say this thing in this piece of art can be reflected and equals this thing in the real world, and that makes it easier to kind of see and get your head around. What they do is create a fantasy world where they're literally wizards fighting against the bad guys.
By the way, I hope everyone reads my piece that's coming out next week. It's called 11 Reasons You Know You're Living in a RoboCop in Starship Troopers.
Is that real?
No.
Okay. Well, I thought you said you were working on something, and
I don't work on shit.
That's right.
One more.
Let's look for one more.
One more question.
Someone says bring Amber back. That's rude.
She's in England. Okay.
She's in England.
Baba Booey. Baba Booey. Howard Stern's penis.
A lot of questions about who fucks most.
What the fuck?
Wow.
I just saw another one.
What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Well, I'm glad we answered it.
Yeah, we did answer it.
Yeah, we put that
not
to
really
bed.
We didn't.
A lot of questions about Peter, about Felix's workouts, which I'm not going to dignify.
Pathetic.
Well, here's one that we might as well go out on. My wife doesn't like the show. How should I make her like it? I don't think that works.
Well, she owes you sex, and she owes us listens. Yeah. That's all I know.
Buddy, you have to be the leader of your household. You have to wear the pants. You have to dictate the rules about what goes and what doesn't in your man cave. Bacon for breakfast every day. Farting allowed. Only sports. No chick flicks. Chapo podcast is the only thing we listen to in the car.
Every day is steak and a blowjob day.
Yeah.
Steak and a blowjob and Chapo.
Yeah.
Watch the series Life of a Mind of a Married Man.
Yes. Yes. And the movie Rain Over Me.
She was perfect. She never said she didn't like Chapo.
She would let me listen to the podcast.
We had a premium.
Whenever I would want to. She would always laugh at the podcast boys.
They also died in 9/11.
They died in the towers. I saw it on TV.
Shut up. What are you talking about?
Only love can set me free.
That's good.
That's a good way to go out.
We should do more episodes with just us three.
Yeah, we should do at least like one or two.
Dude, fuck guests. Fuck Virgil and Amber.
We fired them.
Yeah, you're fired.
We're done.
Oh, and the t-shirts have been shipped today.
Yeah, everyone, if you ordered a t-shirt from us a month ago, chances are you'll get it next month.
Actually, the other guys did it. I was at the gym today.
Felix said shit.
Actually, super genuine thank you to Tim Faust for helping us.
Oh, my God.
He's a lifesaver.
Literally, the only thing we did without Tim was print the label that said Will's ass and put it on his ass.
My name is